Bibles this evening to Isaiah chapter 61, and we're still talking about the divine exchange. And anybody here need to trade up to something better? Yeah. You know, and God will take our mess. He'll take our faults. He'll take our shortcomings. And we can trade it in to Him. And He'll give us something better in return. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. He'll take your sorrows and give you joy. Yeah. He'll take your turmoil and give you peace. Yeah. He'll take your depression and cause you to rejoice. Hallelujah. Amen? So there's a divine exchange that happens when a person comes to Christ. And we're talking about these different exchanges. And in Isaiah chapter 61, the Bible says in verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek." I came here tonight to preach good tidings. Amen? To hear some good news. But this good news has got some power behind it. Amen? It has the Word of God has the ability to create and change situations. God made something out of nothing. There was darkness on the earth, but God didn't look at the darkness. He said, "Let there be light." And the light was turned on, and the darkness said, "We're getting out of here." So when God's Word goes forth, it's always an awesome thing. "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." How many know that we need some prisons opened? Yeah. Amen? This message will either open your prison or help you to open someone else's prison. You're going to hear the keys that those who are bound have the prison open to them, and those who have been oppressed are set at liberty. So there's going to be some opening of prisons tonight, and there's going to be freedom and liberty tonight. Glory to the Lord. Amen? Amen? You don't have to be bound by anything or anyone, because God wants you free. Hallelujah. He wants you free as a bird. Okay? So let's get into this. So those who are bound, they're going to have their prison open to them. You know, there are things in the devil wants to bind you. He wants to restrict you. He wants to hinder you. He wants to limit you. He wants to suppress you and oppress you. He wants to keep you down, all right? But that is not God's will for your life. God wants you to be able to go here or go there or go wherever He wants you to go, however He wants you to get there, to do whatever He wants you to do. Yes. Amen? Amen? So what does it mean to be bound? This word means to have a yoke or a hitch. Okay? It means to fasten in any sense. It means to bind, or to hold, or to keep. It means to imprison, in bonds. All right? That's not a good thing, is it? No. Say, God wants me free. Say, He's releasing me from my bonds. Hallelujah. And then this word, open prison, it means the opening of a dungeon. It means a jail delivery. We're about to make a jailbreak tonight. Hallelujah. And it also means to be observant. How many know that when you're blind, whether it be physically or spiritually, you're a lot easier to be restrained and restricted. So this word also has the connotation to be observant or to be open. Okay? Jesus came to open the prison. That means you get perfect liberty. And when God opens a prison, he takes off all the chains too. Okay? That's good news, isn't it? And he wants you to have a complete redemption, a complete liberty. You know, nothing tying you down. You know, any leash that the devil may have put on you is going to be broken tonight. Hallelujah. All right? Go with me to Psalm 142. Psalm 142. You know, I was thinking, every missions trip that I've been on has taught me something different, has impacted my life in some way. Every missions trip had a purpose for me and a lesson that God wanted to teach me. And that's really where you learn how to trust God. So Psalm 142 and verse 7. Listen to these words. Bring my soul out of prison. That's good, isn't it? That I may praise. What happens when you get released from prison? He's going to turn your prison into praise. Hallelujah. He's going to show you a different perspective, because people who are out of a prison act differently than people who are in a prison. And a prison can be invisible. You know, it's anything that restricts, it's anything that binds, it's anything that hinders. And he said, and I will praise your name, the righteous shall compass me about, for you shall deal bountifully with me. How many know that lack can be a prison? You know, the devil uses lack to restrict you. And even in the regular military, when you're attacking an enemy, you want to cut off their supply line. In my home state, in Illinois, there's a place called Starved Rock. It's a national park, you know, and I spent a lot of time there walking the trails, climbing rocks, and doing all things. And literally, there's this rock right near the river. And one Indian tribe surrounded this other Indian tribe, and they literally starved there because they couldn't get supplies. And that's how it got its name, Starved Rock, because their supply was cut off. Okay? Go with me to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah 42. And look at verse 7. Isaiah 42, 7, he said, he's talking here, and he said, to open blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. You know, this being bound can also mean that you're going from darkness to light. How many know that when you're in darkness, you can't move around too well? You've got to, if you do move around, you've got to be slow, because you can't see what's in front of you. You can't see what's around you because you're in darkness. And if you need to get somewhere fast, it's a lot harder to do it when you're in darkness. So what God does is he takes you out of darkness and he brings you into the light. You can move fast in the light. How many know light speed? Amen? You know, if you want to travel fast, the angels travel at light speed. They're here and then they're gone, right? They travel at light speed. Jesus, when the apostles were, after Jesus had rose from the dead, they were in their upper room and they were getting, all of a sudden Jesus appeared. He was there. He was not restricted with walls. He was not restricted with doors. He could just come into a place. Did you know that God has access right here tonight? Amen. And all we got to do is open our hearts to him. But he wants to bring us out of darkness and into the light, right? Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. Let me just give you some scriptures about being transferred from darkness to light. Then we're going to look at a couple examples. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. You are a chosen generation. Did you know that God chose your generation? Why did he choose you? He made you a royal priest, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That doesn't mean you're strange. It just means that God owns you because he purchased you with his blood. That you should show forth the praises of him who is what? Called you out of what? Into what? What kind of light? Marvelous light. See, when you get out of darkness and into the light, you've got something to praise. Amen? I was lost, but now I'm found. Being found is better than being lost. Being in the light is better than being in darkness. It's so much better. And so now you have a reason to rejoice. Go to Ephesians 5:8. Ephesians 5:8. I know I'm going a little quick, but you can listen quick, can't you? Amen. You know, if you miss something in the service, just ask the Holy Spirit to remind you. He'll remind you what Jesus told you, right? Ephesians 5 and verse 8. You were sometimes in darkness, but now you are in the light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. So the walk that you do in the light now is different than how you walked or how you lived in darkness. You know, your walk is really how you live. It's not really your steps, but it's your life. It's how you live your life. You're supposed to live as children of the light. Not in darkness, not in secretive, but in being open, being transparent, not being fearful. Amen? You know, our government, you know, with this immigration thing, they're talking about bringing people out of the shadows. Listen, God's been bringing people out of the shadows ever since Jesus came to this earth. Amen? So you were in darkness, but now walk in the light. You know, there was a man by the name of Samson. You know about Samson? He was called to be a Nazarite. What that means is he couldn't drink any strong drink, and he had to let his hair grow. You know, people who like long hair, they like to talk about Samson. Because his strength really was in keeping his hair not cut. Samson never saw a barber. He never got a buzz. All right? And he was a judge of Israel. And he wasn't perfect. He had some flaws. All right? He liked women. And didn't seem like he was satisfied. He was always getting hooked up with the wrong one. And Samson would do these great feats of strength. The Spirit of the Lord would come on him, and he would kill 1,000 Philistine with the jawbone of a donkey. He tied these foxes together and lit them on fire. He carried the gates of the city on his shoulders, you know. And he would just defeat the Philistines. Well, the Philistines had a plan. You know, when the devil wants to destroy you, he'll put a person next to you. And when God wants to bless you, he'll put a person next to you. So you better watch who you associate with. Amen. Right? Yes. Relationships are important, but you got to know those who labor among you. Because some people represent darkness, other people represent the light. And Samson got connected with a woman named Delilah. And Delilah used several things like flattery to try to get his secret. She tried and tried and tried, and you know, Samson was just toying with her. Listen, you don't toy with the devil. Because if you just you know, we're not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. We're supposed to know the wiles of the devil. We're supposed to be able to stand against him. That's what God's armor does for us. Okay? And to make a long story short, Delilah finally got the secret from Samson was in his hair. His hair was never shaved. So she caused him to go to sleep in her lap. And while he was sleeping, she called for the barber to come in. And he got his first haircut. And she said, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." And he got up. He didn't know that the anointing left him. And he was taken. He went to fight, but he had no strength. You ever go to fight the devil without any strength? And they captured Samson. And they gouged out his eyes. Now go with me to Judges chapter 16. We're going to pick up the story there. Okay? Because this is an important point about God bringing us out of darkness, bringing us from being bound to freedom. Okay? Judges chapter 16, verse 21. The Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. So Samson was blind, bound, and grinding at a wheel in prison. Okay? Well, you might think, well, it's over for you, Samson. And how be it, notice verse 22. This is God's grace. The hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. You know what? Some of you might be in a spot where you've lost your vision. You've lost your will to live and you feel like you're enslaved in a place and you can't get out, but your hair's about to grow. Things are about to change in your life. All you need is the anointing from God. If you have the anointing of God, that's all you need. Because the anointing breaks yokes and destroys burdens. It removes burdens and it destroys yoke off your life. Isaiah 10:27 says, it talks about the yoke destroying, burden removing power of God. Say, my hair is beginning to grow. Okay, then the lords of the Philistines, verse 23, they gathered them together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. For they said, "Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand." Oh, really? And when the people saw him, they praised their god. For they said, "Our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us." And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, "Call for Samson, that he may make us sport." They called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, "Suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house stands, that I may lean upon them." Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. Okay? This was the largest gathering of Philistines in one place. Now this man who was blind, this man who was bound, this man who was grinding, his situation was going to change in this moment. Okay? And Samson called unto the Lord and said, "O Lord, remember me." How many know that God remembers you? God never forgets you. He knows exactly where you are. And the moment you call upon him, he said, "Call upon me," and what? You shall be saved. Remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me. How many know that our strength comes from the Lord? And I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and which it was bore up of the one with his right hand and the other one with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Listen, God will give you the last word. Amen? And then his brethren and all the house of his father came down, took him and brought him up, and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. Go with me to Psalm 107. Psalm 107 and verse 14. This is powerful. I'm telling you, we're going to break some chains tonight. We're going to break some addictions tonight. Amen? Tonight is a breakout night. A breakthrough night. Psalm 107 and verse 14. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their bands in sunder. That means in two. His goal is to bring you out. His goal is to break the chains. His goal is to open up anything that binds you, anything that restricts you, anything that hinders you. And God wants he wants the floodgates open tonight. The floodgates of his goodness, the floodgates of his blessing, the floodgates of his power. Hallelujah. You know, you ever see when floodgates are open? The minute they're open, that water starts to gush out. Hallelujah. That water was held back. That water was restricted. And that water's knocking on the door, just waiting for the door to open. And then along comes God, and he opens the door, and he pours a gusher out on you. Hallelujah. It's called the flow. See, it's the knowledge of truth that brings freedom. You shall know the truth, and what? You shall be free. The truth will make you free. But you got to know it. You got to know where to get it. You got to know where it is. You know, if you face Satan, you can't say, I don't know. How many know the name of Jesus? That's all you need to know. If you know the name of Jesus, the Bible says the mention of his name causes demons to tremble. So if you know his name, you can be free. You can come out of the prison. And, you know, we know about Paul and Silas, don't we? They were put in prison because they cast out a demon. This girl was a fortune teller. And men were profiting from her fortune telling. And she would follow Paul and Silas, and she would say, these men are the Most High God. They're come to tell you the way of salvation. Now, what she was saying was true, but the motive behind it was not. And the Holy Spirit began to deal with Paul, because it said, after many days. So this went on for a few days, but after many days, Paul got a revelation that this is a demon. And when God says it's a demon, that means you got to deal with it. So Paul turned and he spoke right to the demon. He said, come out of her. And that woman was set free. Uh-oh, but now she couldn't tell fortunes. So that gives you indication of who's in fortune telling. Listen, if God wants to give you a fortune, he'll tell you. He'll tell you plainly. And anyway, they were put in prison. After they were beaten, in the darkest part of the prison, in chains. And at midnight, they weren't thinking about their chains. They weren't thinking about their stripes. They weren't thinking about their situation, but they began to praise God. How many know that when you have your eyes on God, it can bring you higher than your circumstance? Look up, because your redemption draws nigh. And there was Paul and Silas in chains, in darkness, in a prison. And they began to praise God. Well, when you praise God, God gets happy. And when God gets happy, he stomps his foot. And when he stomps his foot, things happen on earth. Amen? And God got so happy that he got to stomping his foot, and all of a sudden that prison started to shake and quake and rattle and roll. Hallelujah. And when they were at the height of their praise, God's presence came and inhabited their praises and broke their chains and off of all the prisoners around them. See, maybe you got a problem with a neighbor, you just need to praise God some more. Because maybe your neighbor's in chains and they don't know how to praise God, but they need to hear you praise God. Because we know that Paul and Silas weren't silent, because the Bible says other prisoners heard them. They heard them praise God and they saw the effects of their praise. And their prison was opened, their chains were broke off, and so were all the other prisoners. Every prisoner in that prison was opened through praise. So much so that the jailer came in, he was going to kill himself. Because if all the prison doors are open, he failed his job. And Paul said, don't kill yourself, they're all here. Can you imagine? All the prison doors are open, all the chains are off, and the prisoners are still in there. They'd be like, I am not moving out of here. I don't know what's happening. But what happened? It led to the salvation of that jailer and his family. See, God needed to get their chains off so that they could give him the gospel. Amen? And God wants to open any prison. He's got the keys. Because, go with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. So if you're in a prison tonight, if you're bound, if you're restricted, if you're chained, you don't have to be that anymore. They can be broken off right here, right now, and you can experience true freedom and perfect liberty. No restrictions. You know, I think some Christians are chained because they have a hard time trying to lift up their hands to praise God. You know? When the Spirit of God is moving, praise the Lord. I feel like their hands are restricted. You need to get your hands up. Why? When you were chained, it's uncomfortable. But when the chains are broken, there's relief. The reason we raise our hands is because of the freedom that God has given us. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God to salvation to them that believe. You know, I remember my very first sermon was in lab class. We had to do a 10-minute sermon in front of 100 people. That was the only time in my life that I never left this pulpit. I felt like I was stuck behind the thing. But as I got past my 10 minutes, I was like, whew, you know. But the more I did it, the more freer I got. And thank God that I'm not attached to any cord. Amen? I can move about. I mean, I'd be a miserable preacher if I had to just stand still, like with my feet in a wash pan or something. I got to move around because I like freedom. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 28. Jesus said this. I'm sorry, Matthew 12, verse 20. He said, a bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And I always tried to grasp what he was saying here. And the New Living Translation sheds a little bit more light on this. Let me read it to you. He will not crush those who are weak or quench the smallest hope until he brings full justice with his final victory. And his name will be the hope of all the world. So if you've got, maybe you're here tonight and you're a little broken, you know, God is not going to break you the rest of the way. He's going to take your little brokenness and he's going to begin to repair it. He's going to begin to mend it. He's going to put splints, that's it. I was missing those couple letters. Splints. He'll put the splints on the bruised reed and he'll wrap it. And eventually, after some time, and after the hand of the Lord kind of massages that reed will stand straight again. He'll remove the bandage and he'll take off the splints, and that reed will be straight like it was before. And he's not, if you've got a little ember in your life, if there's a little bit of glow in your life, it's not quite the fire that you'd like, but if there's a little bit of glow, he's going to take that thing that blacksmiths do. The bellows, yeah, that's it. And he's going to pump those bellows. And he's with his breath, he's going to breathe on you. He's going to breathe on those embers. He's going to breathe on that smoldering. And eventually, when his breath comes on there, it's going to turn into a fire. You know, like when you didn't have a gas stove, you had to deal with that charcoal. You know, you had to soak that charcoal, and you had to light that charcoal. And sometimes it was hard to catch on fire, but if you had a little bit of, if you had a hot coal there, you could breathe on that thing, and that thing will begin to turn red. And when it turns red, it will ignite the other coals around it, and the flame will get bigger, the flame will get hotter in your life. He's not going to bruise. See, the word bruise means to crack in pieces. It means to crush, to discourage, to oppress. He came to mend your bruises. He came to bind up your bruises. Satan will leave you bruised and battered, but it's God who will come and restore health to you. Because that's what he does. That's who he is. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Just a couple more scriptures and I'm almost done. Then we're going to celebrate freedom.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen?
Freedom is something to celebrate. Yes. Freedom is something to get excited about. Not being bound is a good thing.
Amen.
Being free is a good thing.
Hallelujah.
Being unrestricted is a good thing.
Yes.
You know, I remember my mother. She said, when you turn 18, you won't have a curfew. And I said, great. So I turned 18, and I was hanging out with some friends, and I got back about 3 o'clock in the morning. And the next, when my mom woke up in later in the morning, she said, how come you got home so late? I said, well, I didn't have a curfew. She said, well, I didn't mean for you to stay out that late. But I was enjoying my freedom. Freedom is something to be celebrated.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not us.
Hallelujah.
Yes, you're going to go through things, but you're going to be able to say, look, it's God working in me. It's not just me. Amen. In other words, God's going to get the glory for when you get the victory.
Yes.
Your victory, God gets the glory for your victory.
Amen.
Notice what he said. Verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Say, I'm not distressed.
I'm not distressed.
We are perplexed or puzzled, but not in despair. Listen, I may not know exactly what to do in this moment, but I'm going to rejoice because my God will show me. He'll give me wisdom. Okay? Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Yeah, you may have knocked me down, but I'm not destroyed. That means I'm getting back up. You can't keep a good man or a good woman down. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Sometimes you got to suffer things so that you can experience the power of the resurrection. Sometimes God prepares you for things because he knows what's coming ahead, that his power can work in you. And when you get through the thing that you face, you can say, look what the Lord has done. Amen? So the Lord saves us from being crushed and in despair. We're not forsaken and we're not destroyed. That's a good thing. The devil can throw his best at you and he still won't win. He can throw his whole arsenal at you and you'll still be standing after the smoke clears. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He tells us in verse 1 at the last part, don't receive the grace of God in vain. He said, I have heard you in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Salvation is now. Amen? Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions. Everybody say afflictions. In necessities. Say necessities. In distresses. In stripes. In imprisonments. In tumults. In labors. In watchings. In fastings. But notice what he said, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well-known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. Hallelujah, that's what it means. When you no longer live in a prison, when you know that nothing that Satan can do can bind you, you say, give me your best shot, Satan, because I'm going to still stand. Because he wants to open the prison doors. He wants you to experience true freedom. God is not an oppressor. The devil is. If you're being oppressed, it's not because God. It's because the enemy. But God has given you everything you need to stand while you're being oppressed and to get the victory over it. Amen? Because tonight you're coming out. And tonight the thing that bound you will no longer bind you. Amen? Amen? It's kind of like it's like one of those old-time camp meetings in a tent, just not a tent tonight. So what do we know from this? If you've been oppressed, God wants to set you at liberty. If you've been bruised, he wants to mend it. If you've been restricted, he wants to set you free, so that you're unrestricted. Amen? You know, there's no restrictions in God. How much of the gold and the silver is God's? All of it. His name is El Shaddai, more than enough, all-sufficient, almighty. His name is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. Do you have a need tonight? He can provide. Do you need a way out? Jesus is the way. Do you need help? He's a very present help in trouble. He wants you free. Free from sickness, free from disease, because those are oppressors. Those are restrictors. Jesus came to heal those. If you lack vision, he'll give you vision. Because that's who he is. With him, he gives you the victory. He's come to open the prisons to those who are bound. Amen? And if that's you tonight, if that speaks to you tonight, we want to pray with you tonight. Amen? That the anointing of God would truly set you free. How many know that the anointing of God can do it? Amen? You believe that God's anointing can break yokes and remove burdens. He can relieve you of any restrictions, any hindrances. God can make up the difference of what you lack. So, let's play a song. Let's worship the Lord. And let's experience the true freedom. Amen? When you worship God, I want you to worship like free people. I want your worship to be uninhibited, unrestricted, okay? Say, this is a free atmosphere. Say, I'm free to be me. I'm free to worship the Lord however I want to. Whether it be radical or not so radical. I don't care what people think. But I'm here to come in contact with the living God and his power. So I'm going to praise him because he brought me out. Hallelujah. You're in the light. Let's worship the Lord. And if you need prayer, I just want you to come up right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Whatever the need, God's got it. Whatever the problem, God's got it. Hallelujah. There's power. There's power. Get ready to experience the power of God. Power of God. Woo! Here comes the power. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that your power comes in and destroys every yoke, removes every burden from her, Father, in Jesus' name. There's no restrictions, Father. There's no fear. There's no inhibitions. There's no... Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I command that claustrophobic spirit to leave her in the name of Jesus. You go and you set her free right now. Set her free right now. If you've got breath in you, you can still do what God wants you to do. You can finish your course strong and with joy. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, negative words can't keep you down. The devil is a liar. Any word that contradicts the word of God, cast it out. Tell those thoughts you have a right to remain silent. I break every negative word that was spoken over you in the name of Jesus. You don't live by the negative words. You live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And God says you're very good. God says you can do it. God says you're more than a conqueror. God says I love you. I've called you and I'm going to help you do it. Hallelujah. You were born to break barriers. You were born to go beyond the normal mark. You were born for great things. Don't focus on the things that you were defeated in. Focus on the victories. Recall the victories. When you start recalling your faults, you're in agreement with the devil. Call those things that be not as though they are. Hallelujah. God's speaking to some of you. And, you know, don't be restricted in your giving. Be a faucet for God that's ever on. Make your giving, you live by your giving. You work for a giving and you trust God for your living. Hallelujah. Because I tell you what, there's power in every seed. The power to increase is in every seed. And every time you put seed in the ground, it's going to grow and it will multiply. Father, we thank you for your rhema and your logos, your spoken and your written word, Father. We live by every word. We walk by faith and not by sight. And Lord, we give you thanks and praise. You're the chain breaker. You're the prison opener. You're our deliverer. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Go enjoying your freedom tonight.